Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Waiters Podcast. What do we do here? It's a comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every week.
Every single goddamn week.
Until the end of time.
And yep.
I'm Daniel. My co-host across from me is Nathan. He is also my brother. We read comic books.
Yep. And we talk about them every single goddamn week. And I'm fucking wired.
Yeah, this week. You hype, let's go.
Yes.
It's a great week.
It's a good day to pod. It felt like another long week.
But it's because you enjoy podding so much.
Yeah, I look forward to it. As soon as we stop recording, I look forward to the next week.
Yeah, I can't wait for next week. It's going to be a great episode. Yeah. I got a different shift, so we can start at 6 next week.
That would have been great information.
That's next week, though.
Oh, okay.
No, this week it's still 7.
Yeah, that's going to make all the difference. I don't know if you know.
No, you got like an extra hour of editing.
Yeah, that's great.
Before bedtime.
Maybe I could play a game of Valorant. I've been playing Valorant lately.
I feel like you just always play Valorant, though.
I do play it a lot. I play other games.
Like Rocket League?
I haven't played that one as much this season, at least.
I don't think I've played it since I've played with you guys. And every time I play with you and Carter, I like buy the season pass and then don't touch it again. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get all these. I'm gonna get all this cool shit.
That's the philosophy of the season pass. It's like you get it and you're like, oh my god, I can't wait to work through it.
I just gotta get to level like 67 and get the thing I want.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. They put all good shit at the end.
Yeah, you gotta play like 300 games.
What's cruel is that they give you like a free rocket pass or battle pass or whatever, and it's like there's some cool stuff in there. But if you want the really really cool stuff, then you gotta pay for it.
Yeah.
Valorant's really bad about it because their shit's really expensive. But it doesn't matter. We're not here to talk about video games. Sounded like Rick there from Rick and Morty. Now, we're here to talk about all sorts of things. The news, for instance, which is going to be in the time codes in the description of the episode, as well as the book that we're going to read for the week and the back matter and the poll list if you want to hear about what we've been reading / seeing.
And then the segment where we say what we're going to read next week.
I don't put that in time codes. It's just at the end.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. But the first time code is the news.
Nathan, Jeff Lemire announced
a new book.
From Dark Horse.
Named?
May's Book.
Yes.
Coming in
September.
Yeah, it's a 5-issue, 84-page,
48-page each.
What did I say?
84.
Oh, 48-page. I might be dyslexic.
That's nearly double.
Nearly double. Not that much value.
So that's another Jeff Lemire written and drawn book, which is super exciting. Just like Sweet Tooth.
I honestly just gotta like tell the comic shop, like, can you subscribe me to Jeff Lemire?
Yeah,
because I'm gonna buy it all.
Yeah, you're gonna buy. He's got.
You might as well just put it in the stack.
He's got a million projects. It's hard to tell the comic shop about each one that you want from him.
And then also remembering to pick them up every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is an interesting format for him to do. Well, 5 issues isn't anything crazy, but to do 48 pages per issue, that's pretty. It's pretty premier.
Yeah, dude. 250 pages-ish.
Yeah.
Like, by the end of it.
And May's book sounds pretty damn intriguing, so I'm interested. And that cover is really cool, too, because in a silhouette, there's, like, little lines that look like a maze and stuff, so.
Have you seen the pages that he's posted of it?
No, I haven't.
So he posted just some of the pages after illustrating, and I think he painted them. I guess if you lay out all the pages, you can connect them, and it makes a whole maze.
What?
So the pages are, I guess, like parts of a maze.
Like the gutters and the panels?
Yeah, kind of.
Like the white space
of the page? It seems like there might be like a path on the page. I'd have to look at it again.
That's fucking wild.
But he just like took all these pages and you can like connect them all together. So if you ripped out all the pages of your book, Nathan.
I plan on it.
You can buy 2 copies.
Yeah.
And rip out the pages of one. Dude. And you can see the maze.
I think Jeff Lemire is actually a genius because if people are going to do that, they have to buy more copies. Or if they're destroying copies, then each of the issues have more collectible value because there's less abundance of them.
Oh, actually, it looks like the panels like kind of connect together to look like a path. And that's what makes it like look like a maze.
That's kind of extra. I don't know who would really know about that. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. That's really cool then. So it's not like the full page is being taken. It's just the path in the maze takes place on the page. Okay. Wow. That's fucking wild.
I know, man.
I can't even fathom what that would fucking...
Dude's sweating over here.
That's crazy. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Comes out in September.
Yeah, sounds trippy.
Definitely going to pick that up. Speaking of Jeff Lemire announcing things,
Scotty Young writing a book called Twig.
Really?
With Kyle Strom for Image.
Really?
Yep. We know nothing about it.
All right.
He just posted, like, he was like on vacation or something, or he's on like his patio. He's like, this is a great writing space for Twig. And then, like, that's it.
Or people were like, what?
I was like, wait a minute. There's more to this that you're not telling
this
us.
This is a great place to write Twig with this associated artist.
Yeah, so another independent book written by him, which is cool. So that may come at some point.
He's of I Hate Fairyland fame and Middle West, which was nominated for an Eisner.
Ah,
so good stuff. Good stuff from him. But back to my original segue, Jeff Lemire announced a different thing, which
Suicide
we talked about.
Suicide Squad trailer, Nathan.
No. Don't. You will not fuck up my segue. You're not going to push me off of this segue, okay?
We figured out what it is, Nathan. Image decided to tell us what it is.
Yes. It's going to be Primordial, which is written by Jeff Lemire, drawn by Andrea Sorrentino, the team that did Gideon Falls. Great book. Also out in September.
They also did Green Arrow, didn't they?
They did Green Arrow, yeah, together.
Nice.
And they also did Old Man Logan together. But you
that's
didn't
right.
That.
Yeah, it's a good book.
They're a great creative team. And they also did Joker Killer Smile.
Did they? Oh, that's true.
The DC Black Label book. But Primordial, out from Image in September, is about the first animals in space that were taken, and now they're coming home. It's a Cold War thriller meets mind-bending sci-fi.
So based off of all of the clues that they gave us, we predicted it.
We were kind of right.
Ish. Yeah, but I think anyone could have put that together.
Yeah, I don't think we're very smart.
Yeah, we didn't like call it. Like,
yeah.
They gave us the clues. They just didn't give us like the name.
Yeah.
If exactly. We were to guess the name, we would have been way off.
I bet it's going to be named Primordial. What does that even mean? I guess it's kind of like there's monkeys or whatever on the cover.
So like primates.
So primates, primordial.
Then, I don't know what mordial means or ordeal.
I think primordial is its own word. I don't think it's a fusion of two words.
But the root word is like primate, right? And then
I don't think so. I think it's probably like.
I think so. And then ordeal, that's got to do with space.
Primordial is an adjective meaning existing at or from the beginning of time.
Oh, it's just a coincidence that, you know, primates and primordials.
I think that's why it's a cool title because.
Right. Okay.
So
he didn't make up this word.
No, he didn't.
Because I kind of had half a mind that he did.
There's also in biology, it means in the earliest stage of development. Which kind of also makes sense because they like shot monkeys out into space at first in the earliest stage of the development of space travel.
You know, this guy is killer at naming books.
He really is. May's book sounds great and this book sounds great. So I'm really excited for both of those.
We got a Suicide Squad trailer, Nathan. The second one.
Seems pretty good.
The second trailer, second movie. This trailer.
Seems pretty good.
Confirms to me that this movie is going to be better than the first one. Because the first trailer just kind of seemed like. It was the same vibe and seemed like almost the same quality.
Okay.
And just in my head. But the second one, I'm like, this is going to be way better.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, this looks fun. It was kind of fun how they were like, they had the actors leak it or whatever because they're villains.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. They definitely released that shit.
Yeah, I know. They definitely got corporate.
Yeah,
corporate
it's just like Sean Gunn or something. Like,
yeah. Are you familiar with Matt Kent?
Yeah. The writer? What did he do? He did that one.
He's done the Depth.
Depth, as I'm like, he's underwater.
Also, he's also done Mind Management.
Ooh, right.
Mind MGMT. Mind Management. Whatever it's supposed to be called.
I think he's going to...
He's also on Berserker with Keanu Reeves.
Right. I think he did some Black Hammer stuff.
Yes.
And then he might have... I think he's on that new Jeff Lemire book that had the Kickstarter.
Correct. Yep. He's a really great writer.
Cosmic Detective.
Yep. Cosmic Detective.
Yeah.
He is getting a Mind MGMT board game.
Oh.
So there was a thing that he posted on Twitter of him just unboxing it. And he said, I'll discuss everything in more detail on this YouTube channel. But I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's super sick.
Not a lot of creators get board games. So
dude,
it's kind of sick.
What was that one book? It was like Mark Miller and Greg Capullo.
Reborn.
That was supposed to get like a board game or something. And I don't know where it is.
Can we play every comic book based board game and just have it 100% be a bonus episode?
Yeah, dude.
I don't do the Reborn board game. There's probably a Walking Dead board game.
There's a million Walking Dead ones, I bet. Okay, I bet it's just like...
Isn't there like a Chew one?
Yes. I've seen that.
It's like card game or something?
Yeah, it's like cards and dice.
Yeah, something like that.
There's like a board, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We got a...
That'd be so fun.
Do it live on the pod with John Layman.
I bet he would hate it.
Be like, I didn't agree to this.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to talk about a new book.
Yeah. That's funny. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Good for Matt Kint.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That book's probably really good too. We should read that at some point. No.
Yeah, I bet if it's like a book that came out already and then later they came out with a board game.
Yeah.
That seems like something that's probably pretty good.
It seems like it's got enough of a following in order to justify a board game.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be interesting.
Donnie Cates and Ryan Stegman on a new book.
Called, what was it called?
I don't know. I think I just wrote
it's called
that
Vanish,
down.
Coming from, yeah, Donnie Cates and Ryan Stegman. It's an image book, yes.
Okay.
Pencils by Ryan Stegman, inks by J.P. Mayer, who's the person that inks him on Venom, which is great.
Oh.
And then colors by this dude named Bam Jason, or that's at least his Twitter handle. I'm not familiar with him, but did you see
So this is the Venom team?
The Venom team, yes.
Oh, cool.
The writer and artists are, I think coloring was by somebody else, but yeah.
Okay.
Did you see the like covers for him?
No, can I see it? Do you have it?
I have like a kind of small one, but that's the main cover. It's a cool design, and then there's one to the right of it where there's like a teen team looking thing. So I don't know, some sort of superhero universe.
Huh. Oh, you know what? I might have seen this, but yeah. I didn't know what I was looking at.
So I'm pretty
this
excited.
First one kind of reminds me of like Casey Jones.
Yeah, I can see that.
But kind of like
with like laser eyes and a cloak.
What was that evil Superman movie with James Gunn producing?
Brightburn?
Yeah, like kind of a Brightburn mask because it's got like the...
I'm surprised I remember that. I didn't even see the movie.
Yeah. You didn't see that?
No.
You didn't go with us?
No.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
You like horror, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of horror-y.
I love horror.
Yeah, it's kind of, there's a bit of horror-ness in there. And then
it's pretty horny? Okay.
A little bit of superhero stuff.
Nice. But yeah, I'm pretty excited for Vanish because they said that they kind of wanted to take an approach of what they felt when they were first reading Spawn. So it seems like it'll be like a more...
Dark,
edgy 90s, and they're really good at that. So they have a lot of really good energy coming out of their books, I think. So I'm excited for that.
I was thinking about starting Spawn just based off of a comic or of a action figure that I saw. It's some dude called Redeemer, and he kind of looks like an Azrael, but like blue.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, Redeemer, that's like used in like the Bible. And he looks like a knight. And he just looked really cool. I'm like, what's this guy about?
Oh, that guy does look really cool. Yeah, he definitely gives off an Azrael vibe. So with wings.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking like, oh, maybe he's like a good guy gonna fight Spawn or something. So I'm like, I might be into this.
Great concept. Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's cool. There's some teasing going on at Marvel for hashtag Spider-Man Beyond. And we don't know what it is, but we know that Patrick Gleason is involved in some way. The sweet artist.
Is he an artist? Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like in this image that Spider-Man's dead or something, so...
No, he's getting some kisses.
He's very hurt and seemingly unconscious, and Mary Jane's trying to kiss him, which is a little bit weird, but who knows what that is.
Wait, just Spider-Man what?
Just some... It's called Spider-Man Beyond, which I know that there's, like, that space Spider-Man. Isn't that Spider-Man Beyond?
Wait.
Or no?
No, that's, Cosmic Spider-Man.
Cosmic Spider-Man, you're right. I don't know. I'm dumb then. So, I don't... Who knows what that is?
Maybe it's, like, Batman Beyond. so it's like the next
2099.
It's the next generation, Nathan, of Spider-Man.
It could be.
He looks super dead there.
He does look very dead.
So maybe it's just like, and what happens after that?
Yeah, they're hyping it up more than normal Spider-Man books, so hopefully it'll be something.
Okay. Nathan.
Yes.
The wait is over.
Okay.
On June 24th, 2022, we are getting Transformers Rise of the Beasts, the next movie in the franchise.
Oh, it's a movie?
It's supposed to be like a reboot, but yeah.
Rise of the Beasts?
Rise of the Beasts.
Who are the beasts?
You know, like the lion Transformers and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
and the tigers,
yeah.
And I don't know what they look like, but they're coming, Nathan.
Great. Want to hear something pretty cool that I know you'll like?
I would love to.
Do you remember the Walking Dead video game?
Oh, yeah.
The one where it was like a...
The Telltale one.
You got to make a decision and...
Yeah, what are you going to say?
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, you got to make a decision real quick, but you can't think about it.
There's like 170 endings or whatever.
And you got to save the...
Which one are you going to get?
Yeah, yeah. And remember the character Clementine?
Yeah.
She is getting her own spinoff book.
Wow.
From the Eisner-winning author of On a Sunbeam. I haven't heard of it, but it's from Tilly Walden, and it's going to be called Clementine, and she is writing and drawing the book. And it's going to be just like a Clementine series that comes out that looks really, really fucking good.
Oh, so, dude, I like the art on that.
Yeah, it's really, like, you could tell she's very established in, like, what, like, she knows what she's doing. So I'm very excited to see what that ends up being.
It kind of has, like, some young adult, like, comic vibes.
Yeah, it kind of does.
And so I think that'll fit well with, like, an older Clementine.
Yeah.
I wonder, How?
So it's going to be a trilogy of Clementine graphic novels. So yeah, it seems like it'd be like a young adult like sort of format.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, she's a good character.
Yeah. Great character.
Let's see here.
That's all the news that I got.
Did you know that Scarlett Johansson is going to star in a Tower of Terror movie?
Like the ride?
Yeah.
It's like not even that anymore. It's the Guardians ride. It's still that at Disney World, but...
Yeah, exactly. So okay. It's still a thing. I thought that was just like...
Man, Disney...
The Twilight Zone?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, isn't it?
And that's a... Well, they say that on the ride, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was just a Twilight Zone-based ride.
I thought the ride for like Haunted Mansion was based off the movie, but I didn't realize it was the other way around.
Yeah. Dude, Disney's cranking those out, the ride-based movies.
Yeah, like Jungle Cruise and like, shit.
Yeah, Jungle Cruise is one.
I want Thunder Mountain, man.
Yeah, I want Matterhorn.
I want the fucking... What was that other snow one? It was like Everest, Escape from Everest.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a solid movie, probably.
I want an Avatar movie, Nathan.
Dude, imagine if they made an Avatar movie. Can you imagine if they made a Cars Land movie?
Where is It's a Small World? It's a small world?
Yeah, that'd be a horror movie.
Oh, dude, terrifying.
It would be like the best fucking horror movie.
I'm pretty uncomfortable on that ride every time.
I am too. I'm like, someone's going to jump out and kill me.
I'm like, this shit needs to end right now.
Yeah, I've never felt more uncomfortable on a ride. Cool. Tower of Terror.
That's all my news.
That's great.
I just thought the
Some Scar of yours were comic news, so that's good.
Yeah, dude.
That's what we do here.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's get into the book that we read this week then, which is Barbalian Red Planet by... Tate Bromble writing and Jeff Lemire co-writing. You bought this physically.
Yeah, man. Get
Very
on my level.
Exciting. So there's also Gabriel Hernandez-Walta on the art, who we know from like Sentient. He's also done some stuff on The Vision and lots of cool stuff.
He did Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange for a little bit.
A little bit.
With Donnie Cates.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Jordi Belair on colors.
Jordi Belair.
Big fan.
Prime, just S-tier colorist for sure.
What's S tier mean?
That's like better than A tier.
Oh, really? I was like, in alphabetical order, that's not very good.
Yeah, it's towards the end.
I'm like, how dare you?
I don't know how that... Yeah, because cars are like A tier, and then there's like S tier, and the S tier are like super or something. They're like super cars.
Ah, super colorist.
Yeah, so she's a super colorist, S tier. Same thing with Walta.
I agree.
Because he's the best. So yeah, super, super cool. So this is a spinoff book from the Black Hammer universe that was created by Jeff Lemire. And we're reading it this week because it was nominated for an Eisner, a couple of Eisners, I think, actually. Let me pull it up.
And also because of Pride Month, because Barbalian is a gay alien.
Best limited series, Barbalian Red Planet. And then I believe it was also Jeff Lemire is nominated for best writer because of Barbalian, amongst other things. Yeah, I think it was just those two.
Nice.
Or actually best, whose letter again?
Aditya Bidikar.
Oh, yep. She's on there, too, for Barbalian.
Oh, no shit. Okay,
so, cool. Best lettering, best writer, best limited series. So, very cool. What'd you think? What's your experience with Black Hammer? And then tell me what you thought about this.
So, Black Hammer is, like, one of my favorite comic book properties, just, like, in general.
Yeah.
Like, out of everything.
It's, way up there, for sure.
It was just, like, super... I don't know what it was. Just, like, super creative as far as, like, building, like, your own... universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had like super high expectations for this.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it quite a bit, but I think it was a little bit lower as far as this, like the ranks of all the spinoffs, in my opinion.
Interesting.
Still really enjoyed it, but it was mostly like the art that carried it for me. Some of the dialogue was like a little cringe, in my opinion. Just like certain parts I'll like point it out, but that's just like me being picky. I don't know if it... I don't think it's like Tate Bromball's issue or anything, but I can't imagine like Jeff Lemire doing like a much better version or anything like that. But it was mostly like the art that was and the colors were strong for me.
Right.
And the theme was obviously super important.
Yeah.
But I guess I thought it would be a little bit different just based off of it being like a Barbalian book. I kind of expected to be like all on Mars, basically.
Gotcha.
And then more like farm stuff, because the original Black Hammer story is based on like this like farm town.
Correct.
And so it was just like not what I expected.
Yeah. Well, I think it is definitely like an interesting spinoff, but I think it's definitely very like it's some of the most creative like setting I think that you could put this character in.
Oh, absolutely. Like that it's they like, nailed that part.
There were some moral decisions that Barbalian had to make that I think are very, very interesting to analyze. Mm-hmm. And it's set in like, yeah, perfect time period. And I think that this is like one of my favorite things we've ever read, honestly.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Just because of like the message and the way that it's being said is like, especially for like LGBTQ inclusion and diversity, I think this is like one of the best books that I've ever like done that.
Yeah.
And it like, you sent me like a TikTok the other day of like the Netflix Queer Force or whatever.
Q-Force.
Yeah. It's about like a queer led superhero team. And it's very like on the nose and seemingly not written very well because every line of dialogue is about how they're, you know, LGBTQ community, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I feel like
it's like forcing the issue for the sake of like diversity.
Correct. Yeah, but it's not like just shoving it down your throat, and like
it's not like creating characters and stories
that happen to be LGBTQ
right
community people. Yeah, and I think that this book does that, like it nails it like perfectly.
I agree. Yeah,
so yeah, this is definitely one of the best things I've ever read. Some of my favorite, there's like a sequence, a two-page sequence that's like, I think I've told you before when I was reading this single issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of my favorite comic sequences in comics. Like okay. Some of the best pages, I think.
Yeah, you have to point that out.
For certain, yeah.
I definitely don't think I would change like anything about it.
Yeah.
I guess
I think it
what I've been like conditioned to like expect with some of these books is like a big twist or just like a bunch of like mystery kind of things.
Yeah,
that are, and I think that might be why I like the previous books so much, is because you're always trying to kind of like figure something out.
That's fair. That's interesting, because this is my first Black Hammer spinoff that I've read all the way through.
Okay,
so I guess I kind of didn't have that expectation going in, because sure. This one is, it's definitely not like super sci-fi-esque. It's like,
no,
it kind of focuses
pretty
more on like social issues and things like that.
Yeah,
which I think it does very well. But that's interesting to hear that you were kind of looking for like a twist or something.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, like Black Hammer 45, I wasn't a huge fan of either. It was just kind of, I think Matt, that was the one that Matt Kent did.
Is that the one
that was like
the prequel?
Yeah, it was kind of like a it wasn't like a prequel, but it was like this old team. I think it was like Black Hammer's like grandfather or something.
Gotcha.
And it was like a World War II kind of thing. And then also what was originally, what was it, Dr. Star or something?
Dr. Star.
But they changed it to like Dr. Andromeda for some reason.
I don't know.
Or Dr. Starlight or something like that. They had to change it though.
There's also like Dr. Frankenstein, isn't there?
That one was pretty good.
Yeah.
But like the spinoffs aren't as strong as the main title.
Exactly.
But I guess I would put this like just under Dr. Frankenstein, then above like everything else.
Okay.
So, but yeah, let's just get into it.
Yeah, totally fair. I think this should win the Eisner, just based off of the other books in there.
So what else is on the list?
For Best Limited Series, there's Decorum, Far Sector, that Green Lantern one, Strange Adventures, which I feel like might probably win just because it's Tom King, Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen, and then We Live.
Based off of what I've read, I think this should win.
I think so, too.
So, yeah, don't get me wrong. It's a really strong book.
Yeah,
I definitely enjoyed it. Didn't put it down as far as I started reading it.
Yeah, it kind of does that, actually. It's a very, like, very fluid read.
Yeah, definitely. But, like, I don't know if, you know, the Academy or whatever you call it, like, the voters pool is, like...
Which we should be on. They still haven't responded back to me. I don't know why.
I mean, like, creators are, like, promoting, like, hey, go register kind of thing. So I feel like
we're part of that.
Yeah, we got a podcast.
Yeah. We've had one of them on our show.
But I feel like they might be more partial to Tom King. Probably. I haven't read all of Strange Adventures, but it seems like something that people might like really gravitate towards.
It is very creative. It's a creative book for sure. I'm not caught up on it, but just the balance between Mitch and Doc's art, I think, deserves like some sort of Eisner in its own right, because they mesh very well together.
I mean, they can get like best artist.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But that's I think that's the art and the storytelling together, but... Based off of what I've read, I don't think it's really like... Because Tom King stuff is really... Or it's not that big of a concept, but it's hard for me to wrap around.
Unless it is very high concept.
Unless I read it all the way through. Because I don't think I really grasped Mr. Miracle until we read it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I got it, like reading issue, but like I don't think I really understood it.
And yeah, his stuff is definitely better digested in trade.
Yeah. And so...
Anyway,
issue one.
Let's do this. So I did a little background just to get everybody caught up on who Barbalian is and what Black Hammer is. So essentially, Barbalian is part of an existing cast in the Black Hammer universe, which is just kind of a big love letter comic on big two superheroes and just kind of superhero comics in general, mm-hmm. but with its own twist, with its own like sci-fi thriller sort of twist. But Barbalian, or Mark Marks is his name, is inspired by Martian Manhunter from DC Comics in the book, because he's a shape-shifting Martian living on Earth and like helping the team. So he's kind of based off of that character. But Mark Marks shapeshifts into his human form to work as a cop in the day, and then he flies around as Barbalian at night as like a vigilante. But he's also a closeted homosexual. So in this book, he watches sort of a gay rights movement gain traction while he himself is on the other side of that movement as a cop. So he has to make like a bunch of crazy decisions.
And he's like called to do like riot control and stuff like that.
Yeah.
At these protests. And so there's like a lot of moral dilemma for him.
Yeah. He's like directly ordered to help prevent these gay rights protests and things like that. So obviously he's in a strange situation.
Yeah. And it's like it's based in 1986 in Spiral City.
In Spiral City, yeah.
Which is like the fictional city here. Mm-hmm. And it's during the AIDS epidemic.
Correct.
Where no one really knows like how AIDS is like transmitted.
Yeah.
They don't know it's like sexually transmitted, but they just know it's like common within gay men.
Yeah.
And so these cops are like, they'll shut down like clubs and stuff like that and just kind of do whatever they need because they're like scared of what this is.
Yeah. And so as a result, people in the LGBTQ community are very heavily discriminated against.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where this book is set, which I think is like really interesting, because I myself ended up learning a lot about this because I didn't know a whole lot about the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
But there are scenes in this book that reflect things that happen in real life that I learned when I was reading the back matter.
Yeah. Super book. Important.
Yeah. So very, very cool. Which is why I think that's like, it's commenting on like a social thing in history that isn't, I feel like, taught enough in schools or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
And kind of teaching them through the medium of comics, which I think is really special.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Like, it's kind of like what Watchmen does, but Watchmen kind of changes history. This is just kind of telling a story within history.
Yeah, it kind of weaves it within there.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of the background. So issue one, it opens up with Barbalian or Mark Marks, because like Martian Manhunter's name, like John Johns. Yeah. So this is Mark Marks with a Z.
Yep. I like
that. That's cool.
I love that. It's so easy.
And he's on Mars being shunned by other Martians, and he's sentenced to death
for high treason, Nathan.
For high treason against the Martian Council or whatever. And then it cuts to the past, some time ago on Earth.
Sorry. What was he supposed to do? Like,
he was
supposed to invade and report?
He was supposed to go to Earth to basically study it and report back, but he stayed there. So he's kind of like a nice Omni-Man, because he just like wanted to stay on Earth. He didn't want to like destroy it. But
right.
He was supposed to go to Earth, come back and report to the Martian Council, but he found a home there. Or he also got stuck on the farm. That could be it as well. I don't know. Because that's the concept of Black Hammer, you know?
Yeah.
Or stuck in the city, because that's the concept. But anyway, doesn't matter. So
he's I was trying to remember if like they were stuck in like a certain point in time or not. But anyway,
I haven't
spoilers.
I haven't read it all the way through. So
I know you dope.
I've read it about halfway.
It's
very good.
It's the best, Nathan.
Do you have the second library edition? Because I'll steal it.
No, I don't even have the first one.
You don't?
No, Parker has it.
Oh, Parker had it tonight. Yep.
It's in my Amazon wish list. sometimes, like,
we'll post Daniel's Amazon wish list on our Twitter if someone wants to sponsor him.
I will read everything that you send me. That's funny. Or get it at the shop if the price doesn't go down or something like that.
Yeah. So now it cuts to Earth, and we see Mark Marks as a cop for Spiral City, which is the fictional city that they live. And Mark Marks, in a previous book, I assume, tries to act on his feelings for his partner, Cole, which is another cop. Is that what happens?
It doesn't happen in a previous book, but it's just implied here.
It's just, okay, so he, as a closeted homosexual, tried to act on his feelings for Cole, and Cole is not about it. And he doesn't tell the precinct about his partner being gay, though, because he kind of wants to protect him, is the general idea. But anyway, while they're talking about that, they both get called to help de-escalate a protest at City Hall. And there we meet Miguel, who's a big focus on the story. And he's a gay rights activist leader, leading a large group of people protesting and chanting for AIDS Action Now, is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a statement, Miguel tries climbing on a flagpole to raise like the rainbow pride flag, but he falls off to then be caught by Barbalian. And obviously Mark Marks was already there on the scene as a cop, but he switches to Barbalian and saves him. So there's actually like a really strong sense of lettering, I think, in this book, just from like the crowd chanting on both. It happens on Mars because like some of the Mars people are chanting, and then also in the city with the protesters, there's just big large words just kind of scattered on the page to like kind of give you the sense of a big crowd saying it.
Yeah, I kind of like cool. How some of it goes like off panel or like, but is like cut off by the borders. And then like also if you see like this like cop with like a riot shield, his like shield blocks like the letters, meaning like
he's
ignoring it basically.
Yeah, which is really clever, I think. And also something that's not probably recognized as much with lettering is he made like a font for the Martians when the Martians talk.
Oh yeah.
And it looks like it's just like very good because it looks funky but it's still readable, but you can tell it is like an alien language at the same time. Like I don't really know how you even like communicate that through letters, but he does it very well.
Yeah, they still speak like English.
You read English, but the font is Martian and you could tell like right off the bat.
Yeah,
which is very cool. That'd be so hard to just create a font. It's like, oh, I want this to represent Mars. How do I do that?
Like, yeah, like let's just put a couple tick marks here and there.
Yeah, I'll put like a little circle in between some of the lines. I don't know. It's crazy.
Let's make this B a little bit more fun.
Yeah. So yeah, after Barbalian saves Miguel, there's a cool scene where Miguel talks to Barbalian about how the superheroes of the world fly high above them while the people are stuck down on the streets fighting basically like their own villains or their own monsters with no one to save them, which he's referring to like the cops, like kind of oppressing his whole sort of community, which I think is a really interesting perspective as well. Cause this is a universe with superheroes protecting from all evil, but they don't really see the evil that's going on the streets. So very interesting perspective. So later Marks decides to not go out drinking with the other cops. He's kind of shunned from them as well a little bit because he's kind of weird.
I think it's just his partner who's kind of like
his partner Cole, huh?
Yeah, he's like encouraging him not to go.
Yeah, that's true.
Just because, and but from what I picked up, like other cops like really like him because he's a good cop.
Yeah,
like he's like one of the best cops.
Okay, yeah that makes sense because you do see Cole here saying Mark's not really good with crowds,
like this guy, this lady, as if you calling him like hotshot and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
he's a good cop. But so he doesn't go get drinks and he's just kind of sitting at his house at late night and he's kind of reflecting on the fights he's choosing as like a superhero and as a cop. So as Barbalian and as Mark Marks as a cop. And later he finds Miguel in the night walk into a building. So Barbalian shapeshifts into a different persona, which he bases off of just like a magazine he sees on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Turns into like a blonde dude. And he walks in to find like a gay nightclub crowded with everybody having a good old time. It's a big old two or double page spread and looks pretty fun. Looks pretty funky.
It's a good time. They got a disco ball?
A disco ball, yeah.
It was the best. You never see those anymore.
Yeah. I've never been in a club with a disco ball, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think I've ever seen a disco ball, like a real one.
Are they a myth?
Maybe.
So, yeah, I think that like also the coloring kind of tells its own story here because a lot of the coloring leading up to this scene is a little bit dim or dull, like on purpose, up until Mark walks into the nightclub where then there's like a bunch of bright lights and like a lot of life going on.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool.
To kind of just show like the energy in like the room based off of the alley.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty cool. And then back on Mars, we see a Martian of royal blood named Bo Bose.
Yep.
Also has a funny name. And he's a bounty hunter who kind of tasks himself with traveling to Earth and getting Barbalian back so that he can return honor to Mars or something. So
this guy looks awesome.
Yeah, he looks fucking cool. He's got what like the one shoulder pad with some spikes on it.
He kind of looks like Hulk when he's on like Sakaar.
Oh dude, that's such a good
and he's got like a big ass axe and shit. And
this axe is interesting as well. It's not like a symmetrical axe,
it looks like a big Z.
Yeah, it does. And he's got
it's for bows. He's like got a Z and bows.
He's got a whip with some spikes on it, or like a big rope with some spikes on it.
Shit probably hurts.
Yeah. So really great design for Bo Bo's.
It's probably just like a studded belt.
They call him a bar bounty hunter.
I didn't like that. I think
that was a little funky.
Like, that's a little on the nose.
Just call him a bounty hunter.
Why do they put bar in front of everything? That's like what I was like.
I don't know.
I never picked up on. They just call him Barbalian. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Barbalian. That's a cool name, I guess. But I guess that's like more cultural on Mars to begin things with barb. or bar.
Maybe, I guess anything that starts with B, you got to put bar in front of it.
I guess.
Like barbecue sauce?
He's not Barboa.
Nathan, you missed my joke. Barbecue sauce.
I heard the joke. I was trying to ignore it.
Why? No, it's good so joke. Good. Yeah, like in Black Hammer, they call him like Barbie. And I think that's fun.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's very cute.
So yeah, that's the end of the first issue.
What do you think about this Martian design?
Great. He actually, Walt had designed all of the Martians that aren't Barbalian. Because this is nice. Like, I guess, some of the first time that we're seeing a lot of this like royal blood or like even like Mars in general.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, so Gabriel Walta got to like design a lot of this.
Yeah, makes for some good back matter.
Yeah, so yeah, great design for this Bar Bounty Hunter.
Bar Bounty
Hunter. So issue two, it's back in the nightclub and Miguel kind of assigns Marks a new persona or like the name Luke because Barbalian like isn't talking much, and so Miguel's like, I'm just gonna call you Luke. You kind of give off a Luke Skywalker vibe. Mm-hmm. Which is a little strange to me. Like, why couldn't Barbalian just like say like, oh, my name's Jeff
or yeah Fred. I can't say that I would really like name someone based off of what they look like.
Yeah,
but
seems weird. But basically the idea is that Miguel gives him a name because Mark normally is like kind of out of his element and he's not talking a whole lot, so Miguel's trying to like warm him up to the whole thing. So
right,
so Miguel shows him around the club. It's called the Underground, and it's where you can be anyone you want to be without judgment. It's a nice safe space for everybody. So they're going around this nightclub and they see the Underground's drag royalty and icon named Nightclub. Knights as in like the with a K.
K Knight.
And then Club is also with a K.
I think they kind of came up with a better name.
It's kind of a cool name, I think. Nightclub.
A person called Nightclub in the nightclub?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So Nightclub is famous for being a huge part of protests and fighting back against cops. So that's why she's like a big icon here. She's a big part of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And just as Miguel and Luke are about to start dancing in this club, a group of cops, including Mark's partner, or one of his partners named O'Toole, he's kind of a douchebag, they kick the door down and then they start arresting people off of a warrant to shut the place down. So Miguel and Luke kind of run.
Mm-hmm. So, I like this use of lighting, how it's kind of like bluish in the club.
Yeah.
And then as soon as like the cops break down the door, everything's like red.
It's very red. Yeah. Very violent.
And red means evil, Nathan.
Yeah.
And
you know that they're no good blood. Cops.
They're, and fruit punch.
They're all bad. Yeah. It makes me think of fruit punch because they're in the club.
They're going to fruit punch some people.
And fruit kick. They fruit kick down the door.
Yep.
So yeah, Miguel and Luke run. So yeah, this book kind of does like a crazy thing where Barbalian is like kind of three different characters rolled into one, because he's Barbalian the superhero, he's Marks the cop, and then Luke, who is just like a normal person that Miguel knows.
Yeah.
So I refer to them as those three different things, Barbalian, Marks, or Luke, but
I don't think I ever put Luke in my notes. It was just like Mark because it was easiest.
Well, when he's Luke, he's talking to Miguel. And so yeah, and it's cool that their counterparts, obviously, like the communities that those personas are in, have differing views. So anyway, after Miguel and Luke are safe, it's clear that Luke is kind of new to all this movement stuff and that Miguel has experienced a lot of shit from it, but he keeps fighting. So Miguel invites Luke up to his place, and in there Miguel kisses Luke, and just kind of a moment of vulnerability, it seems like. And then it's really awkward after that. And then Miguel goes to sleep on the couch. And then the next morning, Luke leaves through the window. And then there's also a few scenes where Bo's, the Bar Bounty Hunter, crash lands on Earth. And then he kills some people and then he shapeshifts into them. So now he's on Earth.
Yeah, I think this is like a prequel from like the main Black Hammer book.
Yeah.
I didn't really know where this was placed.
Yeah, it's not very clear, is it?
So I think like with him being like uncomfortable from being kissed by Miguel, this is like all like kind of new for him. And yeah, then
it
when,
seems like that
when
way,
he's yeah. being like tried for treason, it's only a couple months from this.
Mm-hmm.
So that must have been like when he first left Mars and came to Earth, kind of thing. So yeah. That's how you kind of pick up.
I think it is because there's like a quick line where Barbalian later is asking, like, well, where's Black Hammer, or where's, like, the other people?
Abraham Slam,
yeah. And
see, if you read the book, like, man, I don't know, then you know who that is.
I have read the book.
In Golden Gale.
Yeah, Golden Gale.
And the Golden Family, Lover. I think.
And the mosquito bitch. What's her name?
Madam Dragonfly. Get on my level, Nathan.
I read that one shot. Did you?
The Madam Dragonfly one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It was pretty good.
Did you read the one shot? It was...
Did you read the Golden Gale one shot yet? By Matt... What's his name? Pat Oswald? Pat?
No. Is that a one shot for Golden Gale, basically?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
What's his name? Is that his name?
Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I haven't.
Very good.
Who's that one character? What's that, like, big drag? What's that big, like, mythical creature that, like, Cthulhu?
I was like, Fin Fang Foom?
No. There was, like, a spinoff. It was called Cthulhuis.
Oh, nice.
There's, like, a villain that's, like, Cthulhu, but Cthulhu. It's like LOU. It's just some dude who looks like Cthulhu.
That's such an Invincible universe name.
And then he's got a daughter. It is Cthulhuis.
Oh my god.
It's so fucking good.
That's the only two names you could do.
Cthulhu.
Oh, three names. Okay, good job.
Jeff Lemire, get me on a book.
He can give you shitty names.
Name Cthulhuisy, man.
So, in this scene, there's a great silent page where Luke kind of gets up in the morning when he leaves, but before he leaves, he kind of sees a picture of Miguel with some other dude who we can only assume is like a past boyfriend that probably isn't alive anymore because he doesn't mention him at all. So it kind of gives us, it does a really great job of showing more of the struggle in Miguel's life than kind of what we knew before. And I think that was really cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, the next day Mark goes to the precinct as his cop persona, and the cops are all told to shut down all the homosexual spaces because they're kind of scared of the effect of AIDS. And they say that it's affecting the well-being of the families, Daniel. So yeah, we got to shut down all of them. And as that's going on, a brick flies through the window, and there's a person that was there at the nightclub the night before.
Raphael.
Well, we don't really see him after this, so I didn't think he was a crazy character.
Yeah.
But he's there. He's mad about the cops arresting people, one of them being his significant other. And so Mark Marks kind of gets in between the situation to try and de-escalate it. Meanwhile, Miguel comes up later and he's saying stuff like, we're fighting to stop dying and we're not purposefully dying for the cause, essentially, which I think is a great perspective.
Yeah.
Like, we're not trying to die on this, like, hill. We're trying to stop dying. So don't be an idiot, basically.
Yeah, there's not a lot of tension on, like, how or the fact that all these people are dying from this. And it seems like, you know, the government and whatnot isn't, like, caring about that. They're just caring about, like, making sure it's not spreading, I guess.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, like, what they're
upset about. So they're trying to, like, just have everybody that has AIDS, which is a majority of, like, or, like, a majority of them are gay men. They're trying to have them die off so that, you know, it'll just go away. Perhaps. At least that's what they're hoping. Yeah. So after that's resolved, and Mark later finds Miguel as Luke, so they talk about the night, and then while they're walking down the street, Bo Bowes, who's shapeshifted as a person,
as a blues brother,
with a fedora and a trench coat, he shoots Mark Marks, and that's how that issue ends. So yeah, that's the first instance that we see Mark kind of get in between. I think it's a really cool scene, and I think that there's a lot of big moments like that all throughout the book. So. Lots of good stuff. So issue 3, Miguel gets a lucky hit on the mysterious man that shot Luke. Like, they kind of hits him from behind, so they start running, and Miguel doesn't really know what's going on, but Luke manages to separate from him so that he could turn into Barbalian and fight. So Bowes and Mark fight, and Bowes kind of calls him a traitor and that he doesn't deserve to have the peace that he wants and shit like that. So Barbalian beats the shit out of him and tells him to go back to Mars, and then he turns back into Luke and leaves.
Yeah, I guess Mars thinks that he's like stranded on Earth at this point.
Yeah, but then Bowes found out that he's just chilling there, and he thinks that that's like a big fuck you to Mars or something.
Yeah, and I guess these two have like history. Like, there's a reason Bowes is going after Marks.
He's kind of got a grudge on him, I guess.
Yeah, he's got some beef.
Yeah, so maybe we'll find out more about that, or maybe it's just a... they just needed a bad guy character. I don't know.
I don't know if there's not like too much action in like the Vision book. And so I haven't seen too many like action pages from Walta, but these are really done really well.
Yeah,
they look really sick in his like style.
Yeah, there's lots of like shooting, and then all of like Bose's weapons he ends up using, and there's some headbutts, and so yeah. Normally his art, like in Vision or in Sentient, there's not like crazy fist fighting action going on.
Yeah, it's pretty like still for the most part.
So it's cool to know that he can do like a sweet action scene like this.
Yeah,
I love lots of face punches and shit like that.
I'm a big fan of his just because I can like recognize his art, and it's not like hard to do.
No,
you look at a page, you're like, oh yeah,
it's very distinct, and like it's just, I think it's something to do with like the way that he renders faces a lot. There's just like kind of lines that are there to help you kind of get the shape of a person. I don't know what it is about it, but yeah, you're right, it is very like recognizable. So and then the cops, they arrest what they think is a normal man, but it's just Bo turning back into that Blues Brother kind of looking guy. So this dude clearly isn't a very good bounty hunter if he had the jump on Barbalian and still got his like shit wobbled.
Yeah,
like come on. But I guess Barbalian's just like a good fighter too.
Yeah.
So Luke meets back up with Miguel.
No, they're together because they're running away, weren't they?
Well, yeah, because he separated from Miguel during the fight. So he meets back up with him real quick, and then Miguel takes him to a special hospital that is run by a doctor named Dr. Day. And this hospital is like a low-key and like a low-key one, and secretly serves members of the LGBTQ community that are like in need of help from the AIDS epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Day immediately notices that Luke is actually a Martian once they're like alone, and she tells how AIDS doesn't discriminate, and even one of the patients that's there is a straight woman that had a blood transfusion and she got AIDS from that, but she helps everybody sort of against it
kind
of.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Day also goes into her backstory as a superhero herself, named after the original Dr. Day superhero, and now she is just a lesbian doctor dedicating herself to the movement in her own way.
Yeah, I guess her grandmother was Dr. Day or something.
Yeah, her mom I think was Dr. Day, and her grandmother, her grandfather was Dr. Steel. Or Captain Steel.
It's Captain Knight.
Doc Steel, and then there's Dr. Day and Captain Knight. So
right.
Those are the people fighting in World War II. So are those characters that you recognize?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah. Right. It seemed like they were like established characters already, but I guess you don't really need to know if they are. You just need to know that this girl is the daughter of existing superheroes.
Yeah, so I don't know. She just has like these like light powers. I don't know what they really do.
Seem to be like somewhat healing powers or something.
Yeah, but when she uses them, it gets real bright in there.
Yeah.
I guess she was able to pick up that Luke was a Martian because he was like healing super quickly.
Yeah, healing super quickly. Has a distinct heartbeat, I guess.
Oh, like a strong heartbeat, apparently.
Yeah, a strong Martian heartbeat. There's a very sad scene, actually, at the beginning of this issue where there's like a kid dying of AIDS-related pneumonia. So Dr. Day like calls the kid's mom, and then the mom like claims that that kid is not her child.
Oh yeah.
And it really shows like kind of what was going on at the time. But what's also interesting is that we don't even hear the mom talk. We just can kind of tell from Dr. Day's dialogue that like
she like disowned him.
Yeah, basically. Which is, I think,
fucked.
Yeah, it's fucked, but like it's interesting that it was displayed in that way. Like we don't even hear the other end of the phone conversation.
Yeah.
So it was done really effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So and I really like Dr. Day's message about like fighting the fight in her own way. Like she's not necessarily on like the front lines, but she's still helping the community by providing treatment.
Kind of like Barbalian.
I mean, I guess Barbalian fights.
Yeah, he like fights.
Yeah, he like throws fists and
stuff. But like in this book, he's like fighting like a different kind of cause.
You know? Exactly. A different fight than what he's used to.
Yep.
So later, Mark talks to his partner Cole. And Cole says that he's trying to protect Marks because he knows that his sexual identity won't be accepted in the firm. But Marks gets like really angry and punches a hole through the cruiser window, and then he leaves. So he's a little pissed off. I don't know what that was about. It seemed a little unnecessary, actually. But later, he turns into Luke, and then he meets Miguel outside of the underground nightclub. And the club inside has again been raided with... There's like a bunch of red paint on the ground, I guess. And then there's a bunch of signs saying that they should stay hidden, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then
very
later,
derogatory messages.
Yeah, the F word.
Yep.
So later, Miguel is invited over to Luke's place, and Miguel wants to like know more about Luke because he still barely knows fuck all about Luke.
Yeah.
And then they start making out, and then they fuck.
They smash.
Yeah, they smash. And so that goes on. It's very exciting. And then meanwhile, at the precinct, Bo Bose, as a human, kills the douchey cop O'Toole, and then he takes his shape.
O'Toole, it's a good name for him. It suits him.
Yeah, he's very much a tool.
Yeah.
I think that, like, this book really nails the kind of, like, bad jokes that a cop would use to, like, discriminate against.
This is O'Toole.
Well, like, in this dialogue, O'Toole, like, has bad jokes that are, like, discriminating against, like, gay people. Because he's talking to, like, Bo Bose as, like, a human, and Bose is like, oh, from my planet, he's fucking lame or whatever. And he's like, oh, what planet are you from? Uranus? Whatever. So I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Just, like, the lamest jokes. So, yeah, so that's the end of issue 4. So now Bo Bose is O'Toole, which is not good.
Yep. I guess they can just phase through, like jail.
I don't think so. I think he was just shape-shifting around the bars. Because in that, okay, in that panel, you kind of see him, like, change shape a bit.
All right.
So yeah, issue 4. There's lots of Miguel backstory here, but we find out he was diagnosed with AIDS 6 months ago, and he's already experienced the loss of, like, another significant other on top of basically being discriminated against his whole life. And these two pages right here, that's the sequence where I was kind of talking about, where it's two pages that are 9-panel grids, but each row is, like, a different color of, like, the rainbow, or, like, that's what the color palette is. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of going over Miguel's life. So that's the cool part of it, obviously. But there's also, like, a really cool format where it shows Miguel's backstory in that, and the middle panel is Miguel's hand sort of in different orientations that tell, like, a very different story, I guess.
Yeah.
So in one, in the orange, his hand is clenched in a fist because he's, like, getting in a fight over people that are presumably making fun of him for being gay. But then in the next row, his hand is it's in a fist, but it's, like, up in the air because he's, like, protesting, mm-hmm. which is, like, a different kind of fight, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the next one, he has his hands, he's, like, holding hands with, like, his partners. So his boyfriend from before when he was healthy, and then when he was sick, dying of AIDS. So I just think that this is, like, a really, like, brilliant way of just, like, showing a backstory and keeping, like, a format and showing, like, acting with just hands.
Yeah.
Because I've always thought, I listened to something that Joe Quesada was on.
Okay.
And he's a great artist, and he talks about how there's a lot of emotion that can be displayed with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, you know, hand acting is, like, one of the hardest things that he, like, tried to, like, nail down for, like, Daredevil and everything, because based off the orientation of your hand, whether it's, like, in a fist or, like, someone's flipping off the bird or whatever, like, you can display a lot of emotion that way. And I think that Gabriel Walta does that very well here.
Yeah, no, this is incredible.
Yeah, a really, really great sequence, colored beautifully and everything. So super cool. And I think that's, like, one of my favorite, like, some of my favorite pages in comics, just because Miguel's fighting people physically and then fighting people in protest and all that. So it's really cool.
Definitely.
And brings him back up to the present, where at the end he's in bed with Luke after they bang. Yep. So very cool. But so now we see Bose, who's shapeshifted into O'Toole. He's going around, like, killing innocents in cop mode, basically. Mm-hmm. And there's a few more scenes of protests going on around all over the city. It's like a compilation type format, basically.
Yeah.
And there's one where the protesters are wearing red ribbon tied around them as, like, a symbol, which is commemorating, like, an actual real event that happened.
Where, oh, yeah.
There's scenes where people are, like, laying down in protest or, like, tying red ribbon around them in protest, which is very cool. That's part of it that was, like, actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then it jumps to a scene where Miguel and the community are planning a huge protest on City Hall, and Luke decides to take that time to talk to Miguel about who he really is. It seems like a bad time because there's a lot of people there, but
yeah.
But Miguel, who's clearly stressed, doesn't really want to hear about it until after the protest, which then turns into a big fight, which then turns into Barbalian exposing his true self in Martian form. And then everybody just, like, leaves.
Yeah.
So, like, it seems like
they're just, like, unfazed.
That's, like, the only weird or strange thing to me about this book, which I think the book would have really benefited with, like, an extra issue, because this part seems, like, a little bit rushed in particular.
Yeah, I think it all feels, like, a little squished. I think it could have Like, yeah, obviously it flows really well because there's not like filler or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I think if every issue had like a little bit more room to breathe by having a sixth issue, it would have benefited from that.
Yeah, because here he reveals himself as Barbalian and then Miguel's like, what the fuck? And then he leaves and then everybody else leaves as if somebody didn't just turn into a Martian in front of their eyes. Like,
yeah.
Like, what is that?
Like, they probably didn't know that Barbalian can shapeshift.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
True. They just know so it's like a flying Martian who saves the day.
That would have been a huge reveal, I would think. So,
yeah, and then just like, so Barbalian's one of us? And just like, as if that's a normal thing to say.
Yeah. And that's also kind of a, I guess like kind of a cheesy line, but like I know what it's trying to say. Because right after someone says, so Barbalian's one of us, some random dude, might even be Miguel, I don't think so. But some random dude is like, no, it looks like Barbalian doesn't know who he is. Who says that?
Yeah, so...
You just say yes, I guess.
Yeah, there's like a lot of things that like people don't really like say, but it's kind of...
It's like a cool line, but the delivery of it, the context of it's a little bit weird, I guess.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know who he is. He's trying to decide like who his allegiances are or whatever, but...
I just wouldn't expect like a nobody character to be commenting that. On his moral dilemmas.
Yeah.
You know, so...
I agree.
Anyway, so, it gets the point across, I guess.
Yeah, it does. Cool line. Just a bit strange context. But anyway, Barbalian, now as his Martian form, shows up to talk to the cops, which is where he hears about a serial killer named the Spiral Slayer, which I think is just... Is that just Bose running around killing people?
Yeah, because he's like O'Toole, but they don't know it's O'Toole.
Yeah, and he's got like a laser gun, I guess. So Marks now shows up to the cop bar later in his cop persona to find out more about the serial killer. And then this turns into a shouting match with the other cops about his absence from everything, because he hasn't like been a cop that much the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And Marx accidentally reveals that there's going to be a city hall protest, which was supposed to be a secret.
Yeah.
And so that happens and he's like, oh, never mind, I'll handle it. Don't even go there. It's not even gonna be anything, so it'll be fine. I'll handle it.
Yeah,
don't even worry about it. Just
forget it. I got it.
Let's rewind a little bit and let's just forget about that.
I mean, they're making it sound like it's like an attack where it needs to be like secret. They're going to be called on it eventually.
It's going to be like a
protest. And they're just going to like contain it, you know?
But then the cops are like, oh, we need to tell the deputy or...
The chief.
Yeah, chief. We need to tell chief about this so that they don't walk around. It just seems dumb that they'd even stop it. But I guess that's the time. So Marx leaves and then Bose as the cop O'Toole shoots Marx. And
with his laser gun.
With the laser gun. And that's how that issue ends.
Mm-hmm.
So Barbalian really fucked everything up at this protest by just, like, leaking it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much of an advantage they would have had with them not knowing anything. They would have been able to, like, get, like, a flag up, like, without anyone knowing kind of thing.
Yeah.
Quicker, but...
Or I guess just get to City Hall and start protesting a little bit easier.
Yeah, rather than shutting it down, like, altogether.
Yeah.
So I really like the sequence of covers that they have in this book, the beginning of this, it's like Barbalian with like a bunch of chains around him, like he's like in jail in Mars or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the last issue, it's just him like yelling, and then all the links of the chains are like broken and shit like that
because he's free.
He's
deciding to do something about.
He's breaking these chains, Nathan.
Yeah, he is
the chains of society. Good or something.
And there's also like a variant between each issue, and I wish that they would put the name of the artist, because this issue 5-1 seems pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like, it's like a realistic Luke and a realistic like O'Toole.
Yeah, so pretty cool. But anyway, issue 5.
I love a baby Mark Marx.
Yeah, there's a baby Mark Marx in flashback about, I don't know,
him and his folks.
Yeah, him and his mom. His mom ends up dying in this sequence or whatever, but so now Barbalian was taken back to Mars, and he's chained up, and he's hearing about his punishment from the Martian Council, which I believe is the scene in the first issue. Is that what that was supposed to be?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then at the same time, we see Miguel leading the protest march to be met by some riot cops at City Hall. So they got a bunch of riot shields and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Barbalian has had enough after he was given a death sentence, and he breaks free from his restraints, and he starts killing everybody.
Like, there's like a really weird like death sentence for some reason. He's you're gonna die
in 3 months.
Yeah, you can't go back to Earth.
It should have been like,
and I'm like, just do it now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking that the whole time. I didn't know
I get. There's like,
there's probably a little.
You could have taken out the death sentence and like you're gonna go to jail or something.
Yeah.
You know, and then he breaks out.
Why have all of this like weird bureaucracy is part of it? Like it seems strange.
I don't know.
So rather than dying 3 months from now, he decides I'm just gonna break these chains right now and start killing the High Council Martians.
I think he basically kills like everyone.
He basically kills everybody. So
he's like the only Martian left, I guess, at the end of this.
Kind of. So he like leaves Bo Bo's. He like bests him and like hurts him a bunch, but he doesn't kill him because he wanted to. That would have been mercy. So he wants him to like stay there and like be a weak man all by himself.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cold. He says like a lot of really like pretty cold things to Bo's because it's like it's pretty cool. He's like, he says, you don't get to die yet because I know what you truly are and your existence is your prison. And he says, your anger, your pain, and your hate doesn't stem from me, though you wish it did. It comes from your father and it comes from Mars. So he says,
your physique, a charade. I'm like, wow.
Dude, that's fucking cold. He's got ice in his veins, bro. It's just crazy.
I'm like, I feel attacked almost.
He's been thinking about that for a while.
Definitely.
So, yeah, he kills basically everybody except for him, leaves Bo's stranded there, and then he starts flying back to Earth. And then at the same time, the book is kind of like jumping back and forth, but Miguel's protest breaks out in a big fight with the cops. And during this fight, both Dr. Day and Nightclub, who has superpowers, we find out.
She's got some shadow powers.
They show up and use their superpowers to help with the protest. And there's a really interesting sequence in like the first couple pages where it's like the 9-panel grid. And the last row is just like blood drops that are progressively like filling that panel with blood.
Yeah, it gets like,
and like I don't think I'm smart enough to understand like what that's supposed to mean, but it looks really cool like aesthetically.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's like really bleeding. I mean, I guess maybe it's like,
it's just like building up rage and like blood for this fight that's about to happen, something like that. Like it's kind of like it's used to build up tension, but just the execution of it, I don't fully understand, but it does look really cool.
I think it's like the progression of like blood that he like let spill almost, because like the first page it's like his dad's dead, and then the next page his mom's dead. You know, and like it just gets like more and more blood is like dripping, and then he sees like shows like Miguel and then how this like progresses. And he was shot, so he might be bleeding.
It could, you know, yeah, I mean? Maybe it's foreshadowing.
And so he doesn't want Miguel to die, so he goes to like save him or whatever.
Yeah. So Barbalian flies off heading straight to Earth. Meanwhile, Miguel is making his way up to the city hall pole, and he starts climbing up the flagpole.
Again.
And he's got the pride flag again.
Yep.
And he's doing it again this time. He's going to make it. So he finally makes it up to the top, and he raises the rainbow pride flag, but he's suddenly shot from the ground by one of the cops. And Miguel starts to fall off the pole, and he's bleeding in the air, and he's crying kind of in pride because he's accomplished what he's wanted to do. And then he's saved at the last second from the fall by Barbalian. But Miguel still bleeds out from this wound and says, or no, he doesn't bleed out, but he's very much hurt. And he says, I did it, and the world finally heard me, basically, which is cool.
Right.
And so basically from this, that got like, a lot of Miguel's actions were heard and broadcasted like around the world, like on the news. And so it raised like a lot of awareness. There's even like a big candle march that happened and everything, presumably because of this. And then Barbalian talks with Dr. Day and knows what he wants to do next. So he goes to the precinct as his cop persona, Mark, and he quits there saying that there's no place for him at this precinct. So he quits. And then he also reveals himself as Barbalian to his partner, Cole. And then tells him to go fuck himself, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then he flies off towards Mars, saying no more running. And then the book ends with a view of the pride flag still up with Miguel's blood on it, saying, we will never stop fighting. So a very cool ending, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It wraps up really well.
I think that, you know, Miguel is like a really interesting character, and it's not really clear if he dies because he's in a hospital bed next to Dr. Day. And like the last panel we see of him is just his finger lifting.
I think that's kind of like a Magneto at the end of like that one movie.
X-Men like 3.
Yeah, where he like moves like the metal chest piece.
Just a little bit.
Just like a little.
Yeah, so I assume Miguel is like alive, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the end of the book.
Good stuff.
Very good. What would you rate it? Or do we do that after Back Matter? I can't remember.
Let's do it after. What are we going to do now? Because it's just based off the story.
Yeah, true. 10 out of... if we use numbers like fucking dweebs, I would say 10 out of 10. I really like this book a lot. But in our normal rating system, this is a gotta have it and my favorite toppings on top.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
This is like a really, really great book, done very well. Walta's great. Jordi Belair's great. Tate Bromwell's writing, I think, is really good too. So great stuff, honestly.
I think I gotta do like a love it with like three toppings. You know, we got some Reese's in there.
Nice.
Scrumptious. What else do I like in there? Maybe some brownie chunks.
Are you kind of a person that likes gummy bears in ice cream?
No.
It's awful, right?
I love gummy bears by themselves and I like ice cream by itself. Like the fruity and like the chocolatey thing does not mix for me.
Fruit and chocolate?
Yeah. So if you like, even gummy bears in like vanilla doesn't work for me.
Interesting.
Because like they take so long to chew.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the ice cream harms the experience of the gummy bears because it makes them like harder and they're like tougher to chew.
Yeah.
So it's not ideal.
Like for me. Ice cream shouldn't be chewy and take like a long time to chew.
I agree.
Same with that fucking like bubblegum ice cream.
Ugh.
It's awful. Such a dumb idea.
So next time we read a really bad book, we'll say it.
This is bubblegum ice cream right here.
It's bubblegum ice cream with gummy bears in it.
Oh my God. Ew.
That's not this book. It's the opposite of this book.
Oh God. That's like the worst thing.
That's funny.
Anyway.
So yeah, with that, we'll go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
So with this, there's a great afterword by Tate Bromwell. Who's the main writer / co-writer with Jeff Lemire on this.
He did the script.
And it tells how, even though like Spiral City is a fictional place, these events in history are very real. And he even gave like a great list of other works that like affected the tone of this book, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to know more about this time in history, he gives, or just about the AIDS crisis or things in general, he gave like some comics that you could go look at. There's prose and poetry, and then also films, TV, and theater that kind of affected the product that is this work, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
I haven't seen that in like a back matter, so it's very cool that he listed other works that people should go check out.
Yeah, like specific like inspirations. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah. So that's a cool afterword by Tate. And then there's a bunch of sketchbook stuff from Gabriel Walta, which is my shit.
We love it.
Yeah, love seeing that. He calls Barbalian Barbie, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's normal.
He got some Barbalian sketches going, and then he said that the Martian characters were also fun to design, so he was able to do those. And
I like the king Martian that he drew. That definitely seemed like some sort of royalty or like higher authority.
Yeah, that like crown that he was wearing, it's definitely very extraterrestrial.
Yeah, super, super Martian-y.
He talks about the initial, the Blues Brothers type guy that Bo Bose was at first.
Mm-hmm.
And he specifically says fedora hats are tough to draw, which I think is funny.
Yeah, dude, like the angles, they're super so weird.
And like, I would never think about that. But it's funny that this like elite Eisner Award winning artist is like, fedora hats are fucking hard to draw.
This hat sucks.
Yeah. So I think that's cool. Also, there's a cat in this book named Sigourney.
Yeah.
That's Gabriel Walta's actual cat that he used Sigourney? For reference. Yeah.
Is his name Sigourney?
No, his name is Bochi.
Bochi.
Bochi? Bochi? B-O-C-I.
B-O-C-I.
It's one of our three cats, and she was the model for his Sigourney. And then he says, there was a hard casting process to decide which one of them would get the role. which is adorable.
Dude, I love this, like, he made some sort of like 3D printed looking thing of like Barbalian's head.
He sculpted a bust of Barbalian's head to use for reference.
That's fucking sick.
How cool is that? I wonder if he still has that.
Oh yeah, you don't get rid of that sort of thing.
I want to buy it, Walter. I know you're watching or listening.
Thousands, bro.
I'll give you $50.
I got.
I'll 3D print you one to replace.
And then you could also 3D print me one. That'd be great.
Yeah, but no, it's for real. That's like super cool because it's also like sculpted in his drawing style, which like
it's kind of creepy.
It's weird. It's perfect. It's awesome.
Imagine just like this is in like a dark room and you turn on a light and that's it's so fucking freaky.
Yeah,
it's all red.
He's got a
or pink or
long
whatever.
Red head, but mm-hmm. it looks really really cool. Like I would never would have known if it wasn't for back matter that's part of his process. So
yeah,
very cool. So
I don't know how like the you know, the processes of finding artists for these books, but I'm definitely more like partial to like Dean Ormston, who's on like the original one, just because it kind of set the tone really for everything. Cool. It's a super weird style. It's just like different from what I'm used to, but it like almost like set the tone for the book. And he just did like a Walter did a really good idea of like or did like a really good job of keeping that original design of like Barbalian, and then like the tone of the book kind of seemed to match that, which I think is like hard to do.
Yeah, and he said that he definitely wanted to keep that same energy from Dean Ormston's like original design. So, which I think it does very well.
Yeah, we got a bunch of pencils, Nathan.
Yeah, tons and tons of like thumbnails and concept sketches and stuff, or not even concept sketches, layouts. That's what it is.
Yep.
So we actually see a bunch of layouts from like issue 4, and it's really cool because he lays out 9 pages of comics on one page. So he puts like in a lot of work before he starts like actually drawing on like the official pages. So there's like a lot of really good concept that he put in here for that.
That's insane to me that this dude like scribbles kind of like what it's going to be and what's going to be in each panel and then redraws that.
He also like in pages of the script, he's like printed it out and then he like sketches just very quick like things
in the margins,
like, in the margins, which is cool. So you kind of see him. I think this is him creating like the process for that page that I really like.
Yeah, with the hands.
Yeah, and he's also just drawn his cat a couple times. Probably just got bored or on like a break.
He's good at drawing cats.
He is. He's great. So yeah, really, really stellar back matter. There's a final like variant or something at the end, and it's not credited who the artist is, but it gives off Scotty Young vibes,
but almost like,
but
more like proportionate with like it's got like Scotty Young like kind of colors.
Yeah, and but realistic like body proportions, I guess.
Right,
for a Martian. As realistic as you can get, I guess.
Yeah, you know what a Martian looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
Or these Martians, at least.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, really stellar back matter. So, all around, very, very great book, especially if you like Black Hammer. So, good stuff.
Definitely.
So, with that, we'll go into the pull list, shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list, what did you shove in your box?
And I have to admit, I haven't watched the third episode of Loki, nor have I watched the second episode yet.
Jesus Christ, Nathan.
It's been
a
busy week for me.
I'm going to send you all the spoilers. I'm going to talk about it.
No, please. You can if you want. What do you think of it so far?
Oh my God.
Is it like an, oh my God, this shit's great, you got to watch it
right
now?
I'm just annoyed that you haven't watched any of it.
I know,
The second episode's really good. Third episode's not as good, in my opinion, but it is setting up for things.
Cool.
Anyway, the pull list, I guess.
this week, I picked up lots of things, actually.
What'd you pick up, Nathan?
Batman Reptilian by Garth Ennis and Liam Sharp.
Yes, sir.
Very excited for that. Black Hammer Reborn number one.
Yes, sir.
So very, very fitting that we're reading this right now because it's a Black Hammer book, the new series. So this is like the main book is what Jeff Lemire says, but it's like...
This is like a
the next
continuation
volume.
Of because like Dark Horse has this weird thing where they just don't really have ongoing series for some reason.
Yeah,
they have like a ton of volumes and they just like restart stuff like all the time. That's why there's like a million volumes of like
Hellboy
that start with like number one.
You know?
It's not like there's a like Hellboy like 238 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is like the third main title book for Black Hammer.
This will eventually be like the third hardcover of the main Black Hammer book, right?
So the library edition,
yeah.
The second one, I think it has everything from Age of Doom, which is like the second.
Oh, that's the second one. Okay.
Yeah, and then so the third one will probably be this, yeah.
Gotcha.
The first one was just called Black Hammer.
Very cool. Did you pick that one up too, the Reborn?
Yes.
Awesome.
Of course.
I picked up Teen Titans Academy number 4.
Uh-huh.
Giving that one a shot, I'm going to be really critical because I'm picking up a lot of series as I found out, and I'm not catching up very well. So we'll see. I picked up Fantastic Four Life Story number 2, which is the 70s.
Indeed, So did I.
Did you see that sweet 70s variant?
No.
It's very cool.
Is that what you got?
Yes.
Sick.
And then I picked up Berserker number 3.
Oh, I need to write that down.
Yeah. And I, my shop had glossy covers for a dollar more, so I picked up a glossy cover,
huh?
Or like a foil cover? No, it's like, I think it's foil, actually.
So you can put it in like a long box?
I don't know. I just it looked cooler than the normal one, and it was only a dollar more. So I said, hell yeah.
Okay.
And then Jonah and the Unpossible Monsters, number four.
Same, same. I had basically the same pull list, except for Sea of Stars, number 10.
Wow, I didn't even see that one.
Yep, gotta look closer, Nathan.
I think I pretty much fell off the book, though, so...
And then I forgot to grab these, but I'm probably just going to catch up on Money Shot, grab like whatever trades that they have, and then the single issues.
Yeah, I think that there's like a second trade and then like one or two issues of the third.
Yeah, volume is coming out. 12 or 13 and right now.
Yeah, 12 or 13-ish. Yeah.
I also got the first hardcover for I Hate Fairyland.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's over my shelf over there.
That's awesome. You bought some books this week, didn't you?
Yeah, you want to look at it?
Yeah, well, is I Hate Fairyland the only trade that you got, or?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is a fucking sweet hardcover. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's a second one that covers...
This is beautiful.
It's like the 10 issues.
Oh, you see the like little flea guy?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that dope, though?
This looks awesome, yeah. That's a great like trade dress, or whatever you call it. Cover design. I don't know. Great design.
Dress, like... I think that's more like the Coke can.
Oh, okay.
But it kind of makes sense because it's a trade and how it's dressed.
It's you know? Dressed, yeah, physically.
But yeah, I like it a lot.
That's cool.
It's kind of the same size and almost the same color as like the Sex Criminals one.
Yeah. I think Sex Criminals has like some of the best like trade dress.
Yeah, it's super like simple.
Because they have...
It says big, hard Sex Criminals on it.
And then it's like for mature readers and it says duh. Like, but yeah. Like if... Have you ever looked under the trade dress to look at like the actual like hardcover
because
there's
under like the
yeah
the what's that called like the sleeve or whatever
the protect the
there's a name for it right
there's a name for it it's like a protective sleeve or something
yeah
but under that there's just like they make it seem like the joke is about or the book is about putting down dogs and it's like a big joke the whole time. It's really funny actually.
Oh my god, this sounds awful.
Yeah, very crude or dark joke, but it's funny. What did you watch?
Loki, Nathan.
That's cool.
And then, did you watch Rick and Morty?
I did.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Well, actually, what was cool is that Jeff Loveness wrote the episode, and he's like a comic book writer.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's cool.
Yeah, so he wrote, I think it also said that it was starring Jeff Loveness, so he may have voice acted it in a little bit too, but.
Okay.
It's very clearly like a Namor. Slash Aquaman-esque character, because it's just. An Atlantean.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a good episode.
I loved the shit where he goes like the dimension where the time passes really fast. Yeah. All that shit was excellent.
Yeah, it was really great. Like then there's just like generations of people hating Morty and like trying to.
Yeah, and they like don't believe each other. And so he's like people are like killing their dads because of like the slavery.
And revolutions and Morty meanwhile is just trying to get his dick wet. Yeah, so I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. And then
they released it on like YouTube. Did you see that?
Yeah, because I guess you can only really watch it on like Adult Swim. Like you have to like log into Adult Swim and then with a TV provider or whatever.
Yeah.
And then watch it that way. But then they just released it on YouTube.
Well, normally it's on Hulu, but like after the season's done, I think.
Yeah, and that's like months after the season's done, I think.
Which is
bullshit.
Cringe.
Cringe. Yeah, they got to get that together.
Yeah, honestly.
Because... Like it's on Hulu, but then other shows are coming out live on Hulu too. So I don't know why that's so hard to figure out.
I don't know, yeah.
But hopefully all the episodes coming out on YouTube, because I don't want to have to figure out how to do that on like a smart TV.
Yeah.
So anyway, I watched that.
I watched Dave.
Dave, I watched Dave too.
The first episode of Dave. Apparently there was like two episodes that came out. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you didn't watch the two episodes?
I didn't watch the second one. I only watched the first one, which was wild, and it was like stressful at times.
They're kind of like, both like that.
But it led up to like a really great joke at the end, I think, and it was just like it was a little different than I thought it was going to be. But it's a good show.
I forgot like how cringy that show kind of is, just because of how Dave is,
yeah,
and how like oblivious he is sometimes to how. Potentially offensive he could be.
Oblivious and like a little narcissistic.
Oh yeah, 100%. And so it's like so far I'm like, okay, let's see where the season goes.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe that I got.
As long as they're like sticking to like what actually happened, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
you know, because I guess like the first season was like 99% like accurate.
Interesting.
So I'd rather that than like them just try to be funny.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll still watch it.
Yeah, me too.
I watched Infinity War, Nathan.
Good movie.
Good movie. Watched with Sarah.
So you're one behind me because me and Sophia just watched Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, she's like, can we just watch Endgame now? I'm like, no, we have to wait a year now.
Absolutely not, yeah.
Just like everyone else.
So had she not seen it?
No, she hasn't seen like anything. I think she saw like Doctor Strange and that was it.
Gotcha.
In like a couple like the first phase movies.
With Benadryl Cumbersnack?
Yep. And so we'll watch. She's like, is Captain Marvel and Ant-Man even that important? I'm like, yep, very important.
Yep. Extremely.
There's an after credit thing that connects it.
And Ant-Man, yeah, that's very crucial.
I don't even remember the villain for Ant-Man. Oh, it's that ghost thing, huh?
Yeah, ghosts.
So.
And then Goliath is in it. Lawrence Fishburne.
Ah, yes. Love Lawrence Fishburne.
Movie's okay. Cool. Was she like...
Oh, shit.
What did she think of the end of Infinity War? Was she like...
I was like, that's it. They're all dead.
Yep. Movies are done.
That sucks, doesn't it? She's obviously probably wasn't like as moved as everyone else was, you know, at the first
viewing. Screening.
I think she like knew what happened though, you know, and she knows how like Endgame ends, just like as far as like
true.
Who dies kind of thing.
True.
So
that was very hard hitting for us at the time though.
Yeah, it was hard hitting like now. Like the Spider-Man part like fucks me up every single time.
Yeah, it fucked me up too.
Like I don't want to go. I'm like
And I knew it was coming. I'm like, okay, this is going to hit me like a train. Just fine.
Ignore it. Think about something else.
Just be fine. And then I was not fine.
Think manly thoughts.
Yeah, think about lifting
and doing deadlifts.
Yeah,
but yeah, good stuff. Movie. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I forgot about like his whole like squad. That he has, what do they call it, like the black something?
Oh, the Black Order.
The Black Order. I forgot about them.
Can you name all of them?
No, I just know Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw, Corvus Glaive.
Are you fucking kidding?
Proxima Midnight.
Oh yeah,
the fourth one.
Is that the big one?
Yeah, Corvus Glaive is the one with the axe. Proxima Midnight's the bad bitch. Ebony Maw, Squidward.
Yeah,
I can't remember the fourth one, dude.
Wow, fake fan. Ninja Turtle.
Do you think he looks like a Ninja Turtle?
No, but I think they call him that.
Is it the Black Order?
Yeah, the Black Order.
Cole Obsidian, that's what it is.
Cole?
Cole, C-U-L-L, Obsidian.
Oh, Cole Obsidian.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think those are Hickman-created characters.
That sounds like that.
Yeah.
Extra names.
Yeah, very extra.
But yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
I played a horror video game.
Which one?
It's called The Evil Within 2. It was on Game Pass, and it hasn't been before. And I enjoyed the first one, but I got stuck at a part and never finished it. But it's a horror game, and it's very good. And the concept itself is a little confusing. Like, you're a guy, and your wife and daughter died in, like, a house fire. And this is, like, years later, and you're drinking yourself to death, basically. But then you get the chance to, like, go back in time somehow. But there's weird things that come up with it. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it to you. But... I really like
what
the
do you
first
mean to me.
I don't know how to explain it to myself. Or
like, you think I can't understand it?
I don't understand the concept myself. So,
but okay.
I really enjoyed the first one because there was like genuinely like scary situations that you were put in that aren't just like jump scares.
Is this one scary?
This one's also very scary. Well, so far, just with like monster designs and like the studio is very good at knowing where you're looking, and so they can kind of fuck you with you that way. So like just in this, in like the first 20 minutes I was playing it, I walked into a room and the room is just empty, but with bodies hanging from like the ceiling in like random ways. And there's a camera at the end of the room. So I'm like, oh, clearly I have to interact with the camera. So I walk up to the camera and I can't do anything with it. So I turn around to see if there's anything else. And then the bodies are rearranged in like a row. Like two rows that are leading me to a different door that was there before. So the developers knew I was going to go check out the camera and then turn around and see something completely different from what I just saw. And it's very fun like that.
That's fucked.
Yeah, they fuck with you a lot like that.
I would just like not go near the bodies.
Yeah, and then in the first game, there was a similar thing where I walk into a room and I'm like, oh, let me look through this door. And so I do, and then I turn around, and the door that I was originally at isn't there anymore. And then I turn around to look at the door I was just looking at, and that door's not in there anymore. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
So come
like,
on.
They're really good at like doing shit like that. And
okay, that's yeah, cool.
So it's very fun.
Are those expensive games without Game Pass?
Not really.
Like $20 bucks or something?
I don't think it's a $20 game. Actually, that one might have been full price at one point, like $60. But it's definitely like a fun game, and I don't know, it's almost Halloween.
Nice, that's cool.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the first one, so I was excited to play this one.
Sick. That sounds cool. I've always wanted to play like a horror game. I think the closest thing I got to was like that mini game with like the spiders and the kid.
Limbo?
Limbo, yeah. Yeah, I got stuck on a part and like never went back to it.
I almost 100%ed that game.
Really?
I have one achievement that I don't have, which is just going through the whole game without dying more than 5 times.
What the fuck?
And I could never get it. I got really close, but I could never get it.
I can't believe you like attempted that.
I did, and I got really good at it, and then almost did it. But there's a part where you literally don't see anything, and there's a saw that's like coming in trying to cut you up, and you have to like just remember that sequence very well of just like pushing the thumbstick forward, jumping over certain parts and things like that, and it's very difficult.
I think I legit like got to a part where like if you didn't go into it correctly, you fuck up. But then I got stuck on a area where I can't go back without dying either. So you'll have to look at it in case you know how to do it.
I think you're like, just dumb because I don't think that game sets you up like that.
I swear to God, I'm stuck. And then you can't like just look up how to fix it or like cheat or anything because you don't know where you're at in the game. You know what I mean?
Just like look up a playthrough and then skip through the parts you already saw. Yeah,
dude, everything looks the same. What do you mean?
Not really.
It'd be like a 2-hour video and I don't know where I am.
Just be like, oh yeah, I already ran from that big spider. I already ripped off his arm.
This is like a year ago when I got stuck and I looked at it again like a month ago and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm still fucking stuck.
Yeah,
and couldn't figure it out.
It's a great game.
I would love to continue playing it just to get past this one part. So
the ending fucks you up.
Can you do it for me?
I can do it for you.
Thank you. Like, it's weird that I'm like the older brother and I need help from beating this little game. Brother.
Yeah, typically it's the other way around.
No, I mean, it's like, oh, let me do it.
Yeah. So that's it for the poll list. Now we need to know what we're reading next week, Daniel.
Nathan.
Daniel.
Next weekend is the 4th of July.
Sure is.
Should we do a Captain America book? For the 4th of July.
Sure.
To show our patriotism.
I mean, we haven't done a big 2 book in a while, so yeah, let's do a Captain America book. Which Captain America book, though? Is it 4th of July next week already?
Yeah, next Saturday. Next Sunday.
Next Sunday? That's a bummer.
Why?
Sunday on 4th of July?
But my company's like, you know, like...
Do they give you a Monday off?
Monday off, yeah. What do they call it? Like, observing it
the 5th of July?
No, shut the fuck up. They're observing it, Nathan. Captain, or are there other patriotic books?
Nope, this is the only one.
Yeah, everything else. Let's do Captain Britain just for fun. Just because.
Maybe when there's a big British holiday that we celebrate for some reason.
Are there British holidays?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, they have nothing to celebrate.
We could do
Civil War, Nathan.
We could do Winter Soldier.
Bah. Oh, you know, like Captain America Civil War is what you're talking about?
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Right.
Which is...
The Brewbreaker.
Yeah. It's like 7 issues.
We could do that. Or did you like the Mark Waid run
with
Chris Samney?
It's a little continuity-based because it takes place right after like an event.
Oh.
But I did like it for Chris Samney's work, yeah.
I think this would be...
I think cool we should too. Save Mark Waid and Chris Samney for Black Widow. Or we could just do both of them. I don't care.
I agree. Let's save them.
We could do...
Because I don't know any other real like definitive runs as far as like Captain America goes.
Yeah, the way I see it, probably either just Winter Soldier or the Mark Waid, Chris Samney one, I guess.
Yeah, let's do the Ed Brubaker one. We haven't done any Ed Brubaker books.
We haven't done any Ed Brubaker books?
Which is a fucking crime.
Yeah, we're what? 150 episodes in and we haven't done any Ed Brubaker.
Yeah, we've read all the books and we haven't done Ed Brubaker. We've
specifically avoided Ed Brubaker this whole time. Yeah, let's do that.
Bunch of fake fans over here.
So you want to do just Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's with Steve Epting on it. 2006?
Hold on. Was it really 2006?
That's when the trade was released.
Steve Epting, yeah.
Okay.
There's also some John Paul Leon. Yeah, in here. Cool. Yeah. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Volume 1.
Sure.
Let's do that.
Sounds good.
Nice 167 pages.
For America.
Crisp. Yeah, for America.
Nice so, round yeah. number there.
Yep. So that's the episode for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you want to tell us what your favorite Captain America book is, or if you know another patriotic superhero that we obviously can't think of at the moment.
Patriot.
I guess.
If you want to tell us how much you liked Loki, email in. if you want to spoil Loki for me, email in.
Or tweet at me.
If you want to hear some people talk about Loki and what happened week to week, this is not the podcast for you.
But if you want to spoil it for me, you can email me at, or us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com or tweet at us at tradewaiterspod.
How busy are you?
I was pretty busy this. I had to do like adult stuff this weekend.
Like what?
Or this week. I had to like refinance my student loans and like.
Oh yeah. Mom was like, hey, you should refinance your student loans. I'm like, I thought we did. Like your brother did it by himself. I'm like, wow. That's okay. That's true. Who'd you do it with?
I did it with Mom.
Oh, she's made it seem like you did it like all by yourself. You're this big boy.
I made like decisions on like what I wanted to pay. It doesn't matter, but I also have to like figure out a passport and I get new. It's been a week, but yeah. Tweet at us at TradeWaiterspod at Twitter. On Twitter. I'm also at More Like Nathick.
Dan Natividad.
And thanks Nathan Moss for the music.
Did you say the email?
I did.
Okay.
Thanks Nathan Moss for the music.
Emails, tell us what to read.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of those.
Tell us what you like.
Because we're very undecisive.
If you think that we should be on the Eisner Academy Award judge thing.
I'm surprised we've decided on like 60 books to read, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. We're almost out.
Almost out of the books. It's almost all the books.
Yeah, we almost read every single thing in comics.
Yeah, we're gonna have an ultimate edition of our podcast.
Can you imagine if we get to the point where we have to read like Amazing Fantasy and like really like old comics that probably don't age well?
That'd be fun, just to do like a really fucking old one.
Yeah. Maybe one of these weeks,
dude. Can you imagine if we got to the point where we read volume twos?
Insane.
What a concept.
That's like a whole new dimension. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We will upload another episode next week. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we can stop. I don't know why you keep talking.
I don't know. Yeah, let's stop.
All right, good night. Or good morning.
Or good afternoon.
Good dawn.
I'm just going to cut us off now.
Good desk. Ah!